Hi and welcome. Chapter 8, Scheduling of or the Compression Technique. You might be wondering what could be a compression technique. Every project manager, every organization, they want to complete the project not tomorrow, today. Can we speed it up? Can we complete it fast? Is always an ask. You as a project manager also wants to complete this and pick up the next. It's always an objective, right? What are some of the ways and means we can actually achieve that? That is something which we're going to speak about in this section. This section covers some of the tasks. I can either compress it or I can either eliminate it to speed it or to complete the project a little bit in advance than what was envisaged. Obviously, there may be some challenges there to do that. Obviously, there are some of the constraints we may have to factor in. Let's discuss one after another. We all know the projects are time bound and schedules are generally gets changed if something comes up or not planned well. But if this techniques of compression or crashing is used, maybe you can eliminate all such problems of delay, or maybe you can cover up some of the delay, or maybe you can cover up the cost escalation in case they are going. Schedule compression is generally used to meet some of the tight timelines which you are running with. If there are some of the dates you have to meet, probably there is a regulation from the government to achieve that specific compliance for the banking industry, and there is a timeline associated with it. You can't just avoid that timeline. Now, if that is the case, then you need to have those crashing or those compression techniques. Compression would be useful to avoid any unexpected delays, or if you have come across some of the delays. I gave you an example the other day that if you are scheduled to fly from destination A to destination B, and if your flight departure itself is delayed, the pilot takes a special permission from an ATC and takes a shortcut compression. It's his or her duty to get back to you to destination on the scheduled time. Now, the project management team is something which plays a very major role here in adjusting some of the delays in case if it is required. And these techniques are generally helpful for them to come across such unforeseen situations. Now, the ultimate objective which we want to achieve, or ultimate goal which we want to achieve, is to avoid or accommodate any such instances, events come, and ensure that my project is well within time, well within scope, and well within budget. However, the budget piece is still left open for an interpretation. Why? Because if you really want to compress it, you might have to spend a little bit extra. Now, the techniques which we are going to speak about is generally not used as a common practice. When everything is going fine, you may not necessarily invoke or use these techniques, because remember, everything will have some underlying impact on some other pillar of the project. Remember the triangle which we spoke about, and so on and so forth. Well, such situations of the project schedule compression would include some of the following aspects. What are those aspects? Let's talk about them. Now, it is also very, very essential and necessary that you invoke such activities only when the schedule is running behind, or you are anticipating that you are going to miss the milestone. If there is no need, or if there is a minute deviation, then not necessarily important it is that you still invoke such practices. But as a good project manager, you should also evaluate if this is really possible to achieve. There could be another reason of the compression is sometimes you may have an unrealistic schedule or unforeseen incidents which I just spoke about a minute back, and you might want to invoke this. And at the same time, sometimes if the resources are not going to be available, you want to invoke this. Let's talk about the compression techniques now. Compression technique is required when the project has to be completed within the shortest period of time. I told you about the management task to complete this. Why? Because there may be some other acquisition which is in plan, or there may be some other technology upgrade which is in plan, or there may be some other critical projects in plan, and I don't have much resources in hand, and you are the one who is going to do this for me. Can I use this technique? Maybe the circumstances are changed. I gave you an example of a flight, and you need to achieve those timelines. Maybe there is something which is already developed and worked upon, and you don't want to really change the scope of the project, but you still want to meet the delivery date. You can probably use this. Now, if you look at this particular figure, there are about four elements there on the compression techniques, and we'll be talking about them in future course of time. Now, the compression is used basically for the critical path activity only. What we spoke about the critical path is some of the critical activities which has to happen, which has to be completed. If you keep on applying the compression technique onto the non-critical activities, then you might not see the desired outcome or a value which you can probably see when you work on the critical activities. So be mindful and exercise this activity only on the critical path. Two techniques, fast tracking and crashing, they both are a little bit different, and we'll speak about them. Talking about the example which we said on the flight, the fast tracking may really not be applicable there, because you cannot divert or you cannot divide the flight passengers, and you cannot have that run in the parallel. But there may be some of the activities, there may be some of the parallel activities. Maybe take an example of the flight on ground, and you have multiple activities to carry out. For example, cleaning of an aircraft, refueling of the aircraft, removing the baggages, loading it back on the baggages, loading the catering item or the food items into the aircraft, changing of a crew, etc., etc., etc. Now, those things can happen sequentially and can also happen in parallel. I'm sure you are aware of some of the airline who do this very effectively, because they do it very parallelly, and they can kind of divide the activities. That's what it's kind of shown here, that in the fast tracking, you are actually running a parallel path, and you are doing both the activities together. Earlier it was happening one after another, but you've identified that yes, it is really possible if you can divide and have an additional team members and can get that thing going. As per the project management book of knowledge, if I have to understand the definition, or if I have to read out the definition of a fast tracking, it really says that a schedule compression technique in which the activities or the phases normally done in sequence are performed in parallel, typically what I just explained it to you. Now, there are some of the features in the fast tracking would include that it is necessarily running in parallel, but it's a project manager's jurisdiction to understand those activities and take a call accordingly. Now, here also one thing you should keep in mind, that sometimes or many a times only the part of the activity needs to be done in the parallel and not the entire activity. unloading aircraft and reloading it, it's a complete activity. Or making an airline for the next departure is a complete activity. And you are doing a part of the activities in parallel. If I have to give you an example of an IT, you have some upgrade plan for your one of the application. Now you thought that you will be implementing the primary first and then the second, primary data center first and then the secondary data center. You can probably have it in parallel. Fast tracking can only be done up to an extent. You can't just do it for all, as I told you. The use case for you becomes only when you're doing it only for the critical activities. Now, fast tracking of the when the fast tracking a project schedule, you are, as I mentioned, that you are changing the sequential activity, rearranging them, and changing the course of action to make sure that it is running in parallel. This helps in shortening the timeline, obviously, because we are doing the activities together, or we can also meet the overextended timeline to the timeline which you had envisaged for. Now, it makes all sense here to assume something, because when you are fast tracking something, it cannot be an ideal scenario if you have not assumed something. The schedule has to be realistic. The awareness of the task dependency has to be there, whosoever is taking a call to run in parallel. Understand the requirement very carefully. If it has to happen in sequence, then you really cannot fast track it. You need to have a very strong knowledge of the business processes. If the payment has to be done after the receipt of the goods, you cannot run it parallelly. Just an example. So there are some steps which you need to follow to perform the fast tracking. Let's speak about them in this section. Identify what you want to achieve. Determine why the fast tracking is required. Is it required or not? What is something which are going to really solve the problem? Determine capabilities. Is the team capable enough to run this in parallel? Is the team available to do this in parallel? Is my partner ready to do this in parallel? Understand and evaluate the project schedule. Identify any dependencies which you might have. You might have dependency on the approval from a senior leadership. You might have an approval from the dependency on the downtime. You might have an approval from the communication standpoint, etc., etc., etc. Look at them, evaluate them. Examine the schedule adjustment options. Can it be really possible to do it without really affecting my functionality or my scope or my any outstanding work? Identify resourcing and scheduling adjustment. I spoke to you about, said that resource is very much important. Things are not automated always. If the resource is required to extend an hour every day to do this in parallel, are they happy to do it? Do you have a mechanism where you are paying the money for an extra hours? Make informed decisions. Understand the benefits you're going to realize. If it is a minute benefit, it is just a kind of feather you want to add into your cap that I completed 1 week before, may not be a use case for fast tracking, because understand, fast tracking would add an additional burden to your underlying value chain. It might add a little bit of extra hours to your resources. It might add a little bit of cost, etc., etc., etc. And that's why you need to have a common consensus whether you want to go ahead with fast tracking or not. You as a project manager do have some powers to execute, but always essential to take an approval from the underlying authorities. Once you decide to take a fast track approach, always you need to monitor and track the progress. Fast track helps you in achieving the goal beforehand. Definitely, it'll have rewards. It'll have some risks as well. And I'm sure by now you all know that what could be a risk? I may be burning my resources beyond a point. I may be adding the dissatisfaction into my team. I may be communicating the message to my senior leadership that, hey, even if you give me the unrealistic time, I'll be able to achieve it. And maybe you are setting the course that every project I'm going to do it this way. That may not be a good thing. Now, the fast tracking could be a very, very powerful tool, as we know, but it must be used to avoid any sacrificing of quality, resources, scope, anything. Executing activities in parallel can intensify the issues and make the project harder to manage. Because remember, you being one person, you have to be on a different calls because two things are happening at the same time. And you may be required, or the resources may be required at both the side. Sometimes it becomes challenging. The benefit of the fast tracking really depends on how you are structuring and how you are implementing it. If it is really complicated and a project, then it may become really very complicated. It needs a lot of coordination between the team. Remember that we are dividing the activities. So basically you are running the four horses at the same time. And that's why you need to have a good understanding, good communication, and you might also across the milestone beforehand. And maybe you have some activities to do after, as soon as you achieve that milestone. Maybe as small as a communication which you need to push it out. Because you're fast tracked, you also have to factor those. However, there could be a risk as well. Fast track may sometimes minimize the delay, but may also add some of the cost. The benefit of the fast track is you are also having an early indicators. Maybe you are able to crack the errors beforehand. If you are doing it on time, like some airlines are known for their on time performance, you have a reputation in the market. You have a larger shareholding. You have a larger customers to serve. Similarly, if you are doing it on time as committed, you have a good reputation. You might end up having some more such successful projects in your kitty. An unforeseen situation can delay your project and may also tarnish the reputation, because if you know it's going to be a parallel process, and if you are really not managing it well, then you might also have a delay there. Fund flow. The earlier project completion benefits the project owner in terms of the earlier revenue. Maybe there are some business benefits you start to gain if you are finishing it early. Your client can improve the financial return. They end up giving you more projects. You may have more revenues. Revenue stream is a part of the completion of the project. There are advantages, no doubt about it, but it should be cautioned and it should be invoked as and when it is needed only. Now, one was the parallel scheduling and one was the crashing. They are two different things. Crashing necessarily is you are eliminating some of the activities which is really not required. And you are focusing only on the critical activities. So monitor the other parts while making changes. Generally, the project leader or project managers, they decide which activities are the critical activities. And if you talk about a definition as per the Project Management Book of Knowledge, it says, crashing is a technique used to shorten the schedule duration. Basically, we are achieving the project completion beforehand for the least incremental cost by adding the resources. So there are two things we are talking about here. One is, while adding the additional resources, we are increasing or we are decreasing the timeline, and also we are eliminating some of the least critical projects. So the cost might have a little bit of increase there, but it needs to be evaluated before you decide that. Cost and schedule trade-off is used to explore such options, whether to go or no go for crashing. And additional resources may be a more people or a more system or more number of hours from the same resource and so on and so forth. Some key features. As I mentioned, crashing is generally adopted only for the critical activities again. You don't necessarily have the resources to perform all the activities because it might end up into adding too much of a cost onto your project. There is a limit also to crashing beyond a point. You cannot keep on increasing the resources because that may not be a viable solution. If that is so much of a benefit, how do you really plan the crashing? First and foremost, identify the critical activities and hence critical path. You must know that what are the activities. If you don't do it, the project will not see an end of the day. So identify those critical path activities and hence critical path. Have the contingency plan. What if scenario? Again, if this doesn't happen, if such critical path activities are not happening, can I quickly outsource it to someone? Can I add immediate resources? How can I mitigate that? Communicate. Communication always important. Once you're taking that call, do communicate within your team members. This is what the step you're going to take. Obviously, you are going to add new resources because you don't want to burn the existing resources. And you don't want to burn your existing resources, you have to plan them. Be clear, concise in the communication. Be gentle in the communication. Clear expectations that what exactly is required to be done from each person. Because remember, by doing this crashing, all we are dealing with is resources. High risk should have a high award as well. So ensure that the returns and whatever is being achieved. So if you are spending some extra money there, you really see the worth of it. You see the return on the required investment has been achieved. Now the project manager might have some more reasons to crash the schedule, such as starting another time critical project, or maybe training of new resources, or whatever could be the reason, right? As I said, it may be an acquisition to happen, or maybe there is some new greenfield expansions to do, whatever it is. The reason could be anything. But sometimes adding a new resources and making additional resources or the existing resources working extra hours can have its own risk. Maybe you have high turnout in your team. People might run away and leave an organization because they are burned. And hence, it's very important to realize the performance improvement and not really in proportion to the increase in the resources. You may have the best, you may have the 100 resources added, but what if they are not having of the quality resources? You might end up having a delay in the project as well. So project manager must carefully weigh the benefits and the negatives of the crashing activity before the call is really taken. The decision is always on the project manager's jurisdiction and the necessary underlying approval to decide whether to go or no go with the crashing. Some of the differences on both fast tracking and the crashing is being displayed here. Feel free to give it a read. They are important concepts and you must understand it very well. There is always a decision point what you have to use, fast tracking or crashing. Now guys, that completely depends on the nature of the project. That completely depends on the amount of the fund you have in hand. It completely depends on the criticality of the ask. But remember that fast tracking is always a better option when there is a normal delay because of the unforeseen situation. Crashing is something is going to add some extra money or extra cost to your project. Fast tracking may not necessarily have an extra money because you are not adding them resources. You are just dividing the activity and you're doing it or executing it in parallel. Now projects choose crashing if delay can harm their image or penalty or can have a regulatory fines or whatever it is unless they don't use the crashing. Fast tracking is used the first option and first choice to compress the schedule if it is possible. Monitoring and tracking, irrespective of any one of the technology or any one of the method you use, monitoring is anyways an inherent part of your normal project management practices. Now, a good schedule, some of the benefits of schedule and the tracking, most of it we are aware about it, but it will be worth scanning it through once, okay? So if there is a good scheduling, there are some benefits which you receive, and I will just read them out, is that you have a better time management, you are well within the budget, you are able to forecast whatever is going to come, you are better utilizing the resources, there is a user participation involvement as well, and finally, you also have a greater amount of a predictability. You know for sure that what is going to come and hit your plate. Now, scheduling and tracking resource usage of the project is again is as a part of the outcome of the scheduling and the tracking which you do otherwise as well. But it's important to understand that when and why the scheduling and tracking resource usage is worth to put an effort there. Now, there may be constraints in the project to control some of the tasks, but I think effective scheduling and tracking would help in overcoming these challenges. In summary, the project can be executed today, if not tomorrow. It can be fastened up, it can be speed up. You have two techniques, fast tracking and crashing, depending on your own organizations and the criticality and the regulatory requirement and the fine you might have, you decide your course of action. Irrespective of course of action which you take, fast tracking is generally the preferred option because you don't have an additional burden of the cost there. However, when you're talking about the crashing might necessarily have an additional amount of the resources because you are technically dealing with the critical path activities. And hence, it will be worth to assess it well which technique you want to take. Irrespective of the technique which you take, you also need to monitor, track, and ensure that the required project deliverables are met. This concludes your this chapter. I thank you all for watching me.